never back in here, but...
Oh, yeah. Gentlemen, we are off to the races. We're going to have a fantastic show. Andreas is going to kind of break things down and kind of school us on a bunch of stuff. We're really excited to talk to him and obviously the good work he's doing with Whole Foods Market. But first, Andreas, you were telling us a little bit about Colombia because I obviously a lot of folks in America would remember the Colombia of the 80s. That's not the Colombia of today because you all have really embraced tourism and kind of turned things around. And you were telling us that last year was the best year. What were you? Was that in just kind of economic development type of?
Well, from different angles, yeah. I think you know economically the country, you know, had a great year politically as well. But you know everybody follows sports, so the Tour of France, the Giro d'Italia, the World Cup. You know, we all had incredible performances, and it really was an amazing year for the athletes, right? And the sports help to highlight the image of a country. So because of the sports, then everything else kind of was highlighted, right?
It's true. It's the arts and sports. It's all of you can look back at the all the great civilizations over time, and you see kind of two things that pop out: those that are really supportive of the arts. And very supportive of sports, and through time you can kind of see these peaks and valleys. And when you have these low points, it's typically there's not really anything going on art wise, not very supportive of the arts, and their athletics are on a kind of a downward spiral as well. But you know, for me, the World Cup, I've been following world soccer, world football for almost 30 years now, and I've missed Colombia in the World Cup. Like, I still remember, I think it was Valderrama. I still remember, when Colombia was really, you had to go through Colombia. Colombia was fantastic. And, I mean, Brazil's Brazil. That's just a kind of a different bailiwick. But having the World Cup back in South America, it felt right to me. Like, it felt like a comfortable blanket for me.
Guys, I don't regret anything of what I've done in my career, but there is one thing that I regret not having done in my life, and that's not having gone to Brazil to be there in person. I went to Costa Rica, but I don't know if that's going to ever happen in my lifetime. You know, a World Cup in Brazil with Colombia in the quarterfinals, and Celavi.
You might not. I mean. First of all, that was a really, really compelling game, too. That match was a compelling match because that was the match at the very end of it. Neymar got hurt. So that was a very compelling match. But you and I could sit here and talk about football for at least 2 hours.
We won't
do that. We will talk about other stuff. Do us a favor because everyone knows Whole Foods Market, but they might not know some of the good work that you're doing there. Do us a favor and introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. So I'm Andres Trasavina, and I'm the senior global recruiter at Whole Foods Market, and I'm based here in Austin, Texas, where we started with one store, back in 1978, and today, 406 stores later, and 87,000 team members. Here we are, and it's been such a great journey to join with this amazing company. It's interesting because when you evolve with a company that has been there from the very beginning, and when you have the founders of the company is still going to be on the top leading the vision, and a lot of the team members that work at Whole Foods are obviously from back from when we started. So it's it's a great combination of, you know, talent, history, a great mission, and obviously the fact that we're trying to help the world be healthier by, providing the best natural and organic and natural products out there, right?
Right. Does it make, and before we get to the what's keeping you up at night, does it make it easier? Like, I can't imagine anyone not wanting to work at Whole Foods. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't imagine. Like, there's certain businesses. I worked for Walmart, you know, back in the 80s. And back then, they were number three, and they were kind of the upstart. Ironically, you know, now we fast forward it, they're not the upstart now. But back then, if you can remember, they were beloved. They had the people greeters, and people loved Walmart. I know it's odd to say that in kind of a public way right now, but back then they did. And Sears was number one, and Kmart was number two, and Walmart was number three, and people wanted to work at Walmart. And so Whole Foods kind of occupies this space now that I can't imagine that people don't want, like, you can't imagine a person that wouldn't want to work at Whole Foods. Does that make your job easier or harder?
The latter, I think. Yeah, we're very fortunate. Very fortunate because, you know, our brand is well recognized. You know, our mission is very clear. Our leaders really walk the talk. And when people sense that, and obviously when you walk through the stores and you sense the happiness from team members, you know, automatically people do want to be a part of this, right? So my job is tough because, you know, we don't have, you know, enough openings for all the amazing talent that wants to be a part of Whole Foods Market. So yeah, good problem to have in my
yeah,
view,
exactly.
Right?
It's an embarrassment of riches, right?
Right.
What's top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night these days?
Well, now that, you know, when we did our year reviewed and you realize by looking at the data, you know, all the candidates that you end up rejecting, because that's what it is, you know, you only have one role and you know, you may have 200 or 250 or 300 applicants. At the end of the day, you're really rejecting, you know, 99% of your applicant pool, right? So what's keeping me up in mind is that, you know, although they may not be qualified for the role or they may not be as strong as our top candidate, they're still our guest. They're still going to our stores and they're still, you know, happy with the experience. They are advocates of the brand. So how do I ensure that from a recruiting perspective, you know, they feel that, you know, we want him as part of our recruiting pipeline, and we want him to be patient for the right role to become available, without causing too much disappointment. Do you follow me?
Yes, indeed, Andres. This is actually personally for me. I'm a great fan of Whole Foods. My husband and I, we make a point that every Sunday we go to Whole Foods and have our breakfast from there and hang out for a while and do some shopping and occasionally crash some networking events too. So for me personally, I would love to work at Whole Foods. And if me putting myself in that 99% of rejected candidates, I want to be an advocate of Whole Foods. I want to be a brand ambassador of Whole Foods, and I believe in that brand. But when I interact with a recruiter or when I interact with that frontline person who I'm connected with while I'm applying for that position, how she or he is going to interact with me and, as you said, keeping me on that pipeline, that makes a real sense. So we would really appreciate to hear how are you at your organization making sure that you are keeping them in pipeline and having some, you know, passive conversation with them. And if at all, if there is any openings that are coming up, you are making sure they are getting intimated at the first end itself.
Yeah. So let me just tell you a few things that I tell some of the candidates, some people that come from universities and other groups to learn about Whole Foods. And I said, for some people, it may take a month. For some people, it may take a year. For me, it took, 14 years to get to the company where I eventually wanted to be, right? Mm-hmm. But if you really want to be a part of this culture and you really belong here, that opportunity, it's going to come, right? In my case, strategically, I intentionally moved from Omaha to Austin, not because I knew I was going to, get a job at Whole Foods right away. I mean, my field of expertise is narrowed down to, what you and I know, I do, I recruit, right? So there is only one, role in Austin with that title, right? So, but if you're really persistent, if you really know what you want, Whole Foods, it's going to have an opportunity that eventually will match what you're looking for. But the exercise that people need to do is to understand, what their strengths are and really be focused about one specific thing, right? At Whole Foods, we have teams that are self-driven. We're lean, we're efficient. So we try to hire for subject matter experts that will complement each other and then, form this self-sufficient teams. So somebody that comes knowing a little bit of everything is not going to do as well as someone that is very specialized in one thing, right? And the second component of that is to really know why they want to be a part of this culture, right? So learning about, our mission, our purpose, and wanting to have meaning in the work that you do, and then matching that with your own values and your own purpose in life is going to, help you go through the interview process in a way that's very authentic and very genuine. I have opened some channels to keep the pipeline engaged. So social has been a great recruiting tool to keep the conversation going with candidates that may not be, granted a job when they have applied, right? So we have Facebook careers, we have Google Plus careers, we have LinkedIn careers, we have LinkedIn careers for regional, we have LinkedIn careers for global. And through these little pipelines, we can, keep the conversation going and let people also ask the questions that will let them to maybe understand more about where they would fit better, right?
That's true. And one of the unique thing at Whole Foods is, there is a saying that you guys say out there is, without our team members, we are just four walls and food. So everyone that gets hired at Whole Foods has a DNA that matches with the culture of your Whole Foods, right? So tell us about that DNA and how do you identify that while interviewing your candidates?
Sure. We have a process that may be a little longer than the actual recruiting process. The time to fill, at least for the corporate roles, it's probably more or less 60 days, right? Because we take people through different steps. Phone screens, we do one-on-one meetings with team members and team leaders. Sometimes we do speed dating rounds where we bring a set of candidates and they all need to see each other. And it is a little awkward, but it actually puts people through a process where, they will, you can't fake an interview process where you're just, you need to respond to something very quickly. And at the end of our interview process, we always have a panel interview. So the panel interview involves team members from that team, sometimes team leaders from other team. And through all these checkpoints, we're validating that you're really a fit for the culture, right? So we, you know, we look for certain attributes that are the DNA of our culture, things like trust, authenticity, caring, transparency, your level of integrity, your willingness to learn, and your ability to empower others to do things, right? Through a series of questions between when you applied until when you finished the panel interview, we are assessing for all of these attributes. My interview process is based on three questions. One is, can you do the job? We can see that on the resume. We can see this, you know, through your LinkedIn profile. We can see that maybe your skill set matches our requirements. Would you love to do the job is the other question. Well, that requires, you know, a conversation with me, with a team leader, and then we understand that, yes, you're very passionate about that field. But then the last step in the process, and that's when we bring people here for a panel interview, is can we work together, right? Mm-hmm. And based on those three questions, we have a process that disqualifies, you know, people that may be, you know, very talented but may not be a fit, and allows for people who may not have the best resume out there, because, by the way, we don't like shiny objects. We don't require degrees. We don't require, you know, internships at McKinsey. We really like people who are talented and align with our values. So it takes a long time from the get-go, but I think the ROI is that, you know, we have a best 100 company to work for. People stay here for longer, and that is priceless, right?
Yeah. Walk us back through the very front end of the process, because I remember an era where in retail, especially, or grocery, and especially, where you would walk into the customer service desk, you'd have the paper application, and, you know, you'd fill it out. You'd have people right there filling it out, and they'd turn it in, and, you know, the store manager would rifle through those things and kind of see what made the most sense, and people would call, and you'd have interviews, and, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was old school, but it was kind of a bricks and mortars way. And now I know that obviously things are different. There's kiosk in certain stores. There's driving everything to the website through a careers page and through an official process. So if you don't mind, so that everyone kind of gets the old way versus new way, how do y'all take applications these days?
Yeah. So obviously, to scale our reach and to stay sane as an HR professional, we have to have everyone apply through our applicant tracking system, right? Whether you apply to, you know, for a front end role, or whether you apply as a, you know, as our next VP of e-commerce or digital, you have to apply through our ATS. We use SuccessFactors, okay? And I think I don't know anyone that raves about, you know, their ATS systems. There are some that are better than other ones, but, you know, they are what they are, you know. So I think when candidates go through the process, because they're engaged, they really want to work at Whole Foods. So they log in, you know, through whether they come from the career side, or they found a job through one of the aggregators, or, you know, through a career fair. You know, you set up your login and follow the steps to officially apply for the role. One of the other things that keeps me up at night is maybe the amount of people that we're losing based on not having the ability to have a pleasant mobile application process, right? Most people are looking at these jobs on a mobile device, and you know, I'm not the only one that needs to admit this, but we need to, you know, make a lot of progress in terms of helping people have a more pleasant experience, you know, applying using their mobile devices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that, especially as the younger you go, the more mobile The more mobile friendly, the better. I want you to elaborate on something because I'm really intrigued. You said something about, we want to hire really talented people, and y'all's definition of talented is broader than most people, because obviously the non-McKinsey internship and no degrees and things like that. But when people walk into a Whole Foods, they're confronted with the whole you. There's piercings, there's tattoos, there's colored hair, there's, it's the UN. It's every race, creed, color, sexual orientation. Like, it looks like y'all have purposely, outside of the keep Austin weird theme, it looks like you've just basically said talent comes in many forms and fashions. Like, we're not saying it's one-dimensional anymore, two-dimensional anymore. We're saying it comes in many ways. First of all, do I have that right? And secondly, or is that a stereotype? And secondly, if I have that right, like, how do y'all really keep that going and keep that front and center in people's minds, that talent isn't a singular definition of talent or talented, that there's many different ways to kind of look at that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the brief answer to that is to have a selection, a sourcing objective that it's aimed to selecting the best person for the role that will fit with the culture. By default, if you do that, and if you do that well, and you have the right channels to do that, you will select a diverse pool. I would not have the job that I have right now if the selection process was not, objective and set up to select the best person for this role, right? So having clear templates of what we look for when we select talent, and knowing that talent is something natural, something that cannot be, you cannot learn to be honest, right? I mean, it's either black or white, and you can be great at certain things, but you cannot be what I'm trying to say is you can be really good at many things, but you cannot be great at all of those things. So when you focus on people's areas of strength and areas where they can flourish, then you'll find that the candidates that are actually getting the jobs in other places are not necessarily getting the jobs here, because that's not really what impresses us the most. What impresses us is your values, your ability to come to Whole Foods based on the fact that you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself, to find meaning in the work that you do, and that you want to come to work and instead of wanting to get to go to work, right?
Absolutely. Well, you kind of talked about the rigorous interview process and especially the speed meeting. And one of the unique things that we have identified at Whole Foods is the team vote at the end of 30 to 60 days of a new employee. So how does that work? Tell us a little bit more about, how does that performance,
Look, the,
it's not performance
per, yeah.
title, right?
We want for every selected team member to be successful. We want to set them up for success. And the purpose of the team vote is more to celebrate somebody's talent and to have your team, at the end of the 30 or 60-day period, come together and say, you are a rock star, and we are so glad that you're here. Thank you for being a part of this, right? However, so that's the purpose of a team vote. But if there are some areas of concerns, this is not going to come as a surprise, right? So if there are areas of concerns with performance or fit, you would have conversations with someone within the team or someone that handles team member relations. So then you have an opportunity to adjust or to think about, what you need to do better to be voted in, right?
Right, right. That's the best part is there's it's kind of self-regulating when you have the group they want quality, especially A teamers. I mean, that's the beauty is when you have B teamers and A teamers, they want people. They don't want a weak link. So when they're interviewing somebody, especially in a group context, they're looking for, hey, we don't want weak links. Weak links actually make my job harder. So they become kind of a purity test, a quality test. Quickly around personality, do you did mention assessments and screening and some of the stuff, the knockout stuff. Do y'all do anything explicitly around like personality testing at all?
No. We I think we've tried some tools in the past. Right now, I'm working on, trying to come up with what's the best way to approach that. And
nice.
Yeah, and here's the thing: there's so many vendors out there, and what I want for vendors to understand is that their solution does not fit all of the companies, right? And
right.
Our company is so unique and is so different that we need to look at these tools, with a different lens, and we need to do a lot of the work ourselves before we can talk to these vendors and help them to help us, right?
Yeah. I got a guy. I'm going to plug you into a guy. He's South American, and he's Ed Hogan. And I think just y'all could talk about football for about 4 hours. But beyond that, I think that I got a guy that I think could get you at least schooled up on what you should be looking at. I did something off the Twitter stream real quickly. We got about 3 minutes left. But employee referrals, do you kind of have an official, do y'all have a bit around it? I mean, obviously employee referrals are great. I think we all know that. But, I mean, do you kind of have an incentive, or do you have a program, or do you have a bit for employee referrals?
At the store level, yes, depending on the region, we do have incentives. At the global support office, we don't have a cash incentive. We don't have a formal,
team member
referral incentive program. And that's not such a bad thing, because sometimes when I don't know if I can take, any more applicants because somebody just knows that, hey, if I refer 10 of my friends, maybe one out of those 10 would get the job then. But people do it genuinely, and I can tell you that that's been the number one source of hire for us here at Global. And the reason why it works so well is because people want to work with people that are going to fit well with the culture, and it's rewarding, just to see people that are referred and that come to be a part of these teams, and people are not expecting anything other than, we really want to bring the best person for the team, and I'm gonna get to work with this person, and that's awesome.
Yeah. Again, it's an embarrassment of riches. You have so many people that want to work there that you probably don't need to find more ways to get more applicants. Listen, we blew through 30 minutes very fast. And,
wow.
And I knew we would. there's a bunch of people that are going to be descending on your location for TalentNet live here in March. So I'm excited. I think I'm going to be down there for that as well. Can't wait to meet you in person. We've had a wonderful show. I want to have you back on in a couple months and see how life is progressing, et cetera. But everyone, take a look at him on Andreas on Twitter. It's TarasLavina @. Follow his good work. And Andreas, thank you for the time, brother. Thank you for appreciate you. And we're going to roll out to a little happy. And everyone have a wonderful day. And thanks for listening to Drive Through HR.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon.
I can't believe you think you're crazy, but I called your ass from